The Million Rand Challenge. Local is lekker, or offshore is better, is getting into the final stretch now. It's close. It's very close. We'll find out from the two contenders, Piet Viljoen and Magnus Huystek, what their strategies are from here and why. Piet Viljoen is the founder of ReCM. Magnus Huystek is the founder of Brenthurst. Piet Viljoen has good internet connectivity. Magnus Huystek, well, not so much. Magnus, but we do have you with us, though, I hope.
No, I do. Yes, hello, Alec. Good morning. I do apologize. You know, I must come back to South Africa. I'm in a third world country. You're in Mauritius. The internet is not great. The beaches are great. The tuna is great, but not the internet.
And the golf is great as well. So I suppose it's, you know, 2 out of 3. Not too bad. But let me just unpack for those who haven't been following the story. One of the tribe, of the BizNews tribe, decided that they were tired of this local versus offshore argument. They put R1 million up, gave 500,000 to Magnus, 500,000 to Piet. And the position as of now is Piet Viljoen's investment from 500,000 is now worth 627,941, up by, call it 26%. Magnus Huystek's 500,000 is now 595,872, in front, 19% up after being left in the starting stalls. It was the worst possible time to start as far as Magnus was concerned. The offshore markets took an awful hiding. But it looks like it's going to be a neck and neck race. Piet, when does it all end?
I think it ends at the end of this year, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was November, December, 4 years ago that we started this.
So it's pretty close now. So it could be kind of short head stuff when we go into the final stretch.
Yeah. Look, I mean, my thesis was always and remains that South African assets are priced attractively. They are discounting our bad politicians, our inept government, our corrupt leaders. Those things are all in the price. The market knows those things. They're discounting them. And anything that happens slightly better than these very bad expectations are priced into the shares will lead to a good outcome. And if that doesn't happen, well, then you sit with shares which are paying very nice dividend yields on low multiples. You're not going to lose a lot of money. But if anything good happens, you can make a lot of money. And that's the sort of odds that I like to invest in. And I think that's exactly what's been happening over the past 4 years. I mean, this government has just gone from bad to worse. The corruption that's been uncovered has been immense. Yet these shares have gone up very nicely over that period of time.
In fact, this year, outperforming those elsewhere. Magnus, it is a little counterintuitive, isn't it, to think that it's been this economy's been so badly managed, and yet its investments or its companies have done relatively okay.
Just one thing, it's November next year, so we've got about another 16 months to go. So we've got 16 months to go, so it's going to be very interesting what markets do, and more importantly, what the currency is going to do. But nevertheless, big thesis. It's playing out very, very nicely. Undervalued stocks coming through. There was a little bit of good news in the GNU last year. And as you point out, since January last year, the JSE Aussie has done extremely well. In fact, it's ahead of the S&P 500 and just about the same as the NASDAQ. Now, nobody could have foreseen that 18 months ago, including me, including you, including Piet Viljoen and everybody else. Or maybe not Piet, but... So it's been a very, very interesting. Yeah, that's right. You always say you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But the point is, Alec, you remember when we grew up as young financial journalists, they always said the economy is not the stock market and the stock market is not the economy. And now we see it in action. I mean, if you read the political news, expropriation, land grabs, corruption, crime, infrastructure collapsing, yet our stock market is at a record high. And that's what we must ask the question, why? And first of all, in my view, is world stock markets are in a tremendous bull market. So we've been pulled up by a massive rally in stock markets the last 18 months, and also from the April period, the Trump tariff dive. So the markets have done extremely well. S&P 500 has been at a record high for about 13 times this year. So markets have pulled up everything. But secondly, our market is very concentrated, and Pitt's company, Merchant West, recently put out a very, very interesting piece saying how concentrated our market is, and that it's mainly the large cap dual listed stocks driving up our market, which is quite correct. It's Prosus, Naspers, Bet, and a couple of other ones. But Pitt is 100% correct. If there is some kind of a political situation which stabilizes and improves the SA economy and also the mood of local investors, our market will do well. It will do extremely well.
Interesting point that Magnus makes there, Pitt. Although the South African market is concentrated, the stock or the unit trust, the Merchant West Value Fund, the one that you manage, that you've put all of your 500,000 into in terms of this competition, doesn't have too many of those heavyweight stocks. Sure, you've got Standard Bank and First Rand and Naspers in there, but you've got a sprinkling of some very interesting other companies, including SabVest, your number one stock, which we put into the BizNews portfolio, Argent, which I don't think has been picked by too many people, and then Hoskin Consolidated Investments, and well done to you on Capitec and Lewis and Sasol, which have all been good performers as well. But that concentration, it's as Magnus brought it up, it's probably worth just, in a nutshell, telling those who haven't read that piece.
So I think what the piece alluded to or pointed out is that, by and large, in South Africa, if you invest in the index or in the large fund manager, you're going to get the same 5 or 10 stocks because they don't have a choice. They have to buy those stocks, and you're not getting a properly diversified portfolio. And I think what we pointed out was that portfolios like the Merchant West Investments Value Fund are properly diversified across industry, across market cap, and across geography in a much better way than you will get from the index or the large fund managers. And because they're so constrained by their size relative to what's going on in the market. I mean, you mentioned some of the stocks we own, like Lewis and SabVest and these stocks. I mean, the large fund just can't buy those stocks. And these are fantastic businesses, really good businesses run by good management teams. But if you invest with a large fund manager or in the index, you can't get access to these stocks because they're too small.
I guess, Magnus, from your perspective, it's very similar. You decided that you would give a vote of support to Sean Pesch and the Ranmore Fund, and my goodness, have they not performed terribly well? And in a way, helped to significantly improve your performance as well in this competition.
That's 100% correct. One cannot ignore Sean and what he's been doing. And he's following a very low exposure to the U.S. markets for a while, and that's just came out beautifully this year. But more importantly, I also, earlier in the year, moved quite a large chunk of money into the European Equity Fund that's run by 91. And that is also because it's got a lot of defensive stocks or defense stocks like Rheinmetall and ADS. That's done extremely well. And for a long time, I've had a very nice exposure to Japan that it just ticks over. It's doing very well. So on a dollar basis, my portfolio from its low in April 2022 is up about 65% in dollar terms. But, you know, Peter's quite right, and I'm going to come back to this. You know, most of our top 10 equity funds in South Africa are battling to beat the index. They're all buying the same stocks. I had a look yesterday. I think there was the top 10 largest equity funds in South Africa. They all almost look identical. The only one that had a slightly different was the PSG Equity Fund. But they all had Naspers, Prosus, and in the same ratio. So you're actually just buying an index, minus 2%. That's what you're going to get. That's why I like Pitt's strategy. He's blatantly not an index tracker. He will outperform the markets at times. He will underperform the markets at times. But he's an active manager looking for opportunities, which in the long run he's doing exceedingly well. So it's a very interesting combination of strategies, local versus offshore. And it's also been very educational. A lot of people have been asking, how's it going with the, and you have to say, investing is not easy. There's so many variables at the same time. Is it the currency? Is it Donald Trump? Is it, you know, is it the value style? So investing is not that easy. So it's very educational, this competition, which is funded by a real life person who I've, you know, come to know well, and a very sharp guy, and very exciting.
And quite bedonned, because he says both of you are underperforming the indices. Pitt, our funder, says if he'd put his money into the all share index, he would have done better, 40%, as against you at 25.6. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, so I think what Martin says is true. If you're an active manager, at some points you will be underperforming the index. Other points you'll be outperforming the index. And over the past while, although the fund has done well in absolute terms, in relative terms it's underperformed because the market has been driven by a few gold shares and a couple of other shares. And at times like these, we're just not going to outperform. It's just not going to happen. But if you look at the longer term numbers, the fund outperforms the all share index. You know, maybe not over the past 2 or 3 years, but over the longer term, it does outperform the all share index because it owns a set of stocks which are superior in their economic characteristics and their management teams than you will find in the index. So, you know, I have full confidence that in the fullness of time, this fund will continue to outperform the index measured over longer time periods. No, there's no doubt in my mind about that.
So if I understand correctly, if you had invested into platinum and gold, et cetera, you would have had you probably had a terrible run for a period of time and then a fantastic run for a short period. And that's not really what investing is all about.
No, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to give a good return over the long term rather than spectacular returns over the short term. And if you can stay in the game with good returns over the long term, you'll by far outperform anything else. And that's the important thing, is to stay in the game and just maintain, churn out the good returns, the satisfactory returns, and not try and reach for all those bright, shiny things that investors try to go for, the hot things at the moment, like gold and platinum shares, which are cyclical, up and down, at the moment up, and they will be down again. So that's not our style. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to invest in good companies with good management teams, generating good returns over the long term.
Magnus, it's quite interesting when you have a look at what Sean Pesch is doing, because like Pitt, he invests in good quality companies, but he's not averse to taking profits. And I mentioned from his latest fact sheet, I was reading through it, the Ranmore fact sheet, he bought into a big stockbroking firm in South Korea because it was offering fantastic value. It was at 0.6, well, just for people who don't know all the ratios and that, it was trading at 60% of its tangible net asset value. In other words, you buy the company, you sell it, you get a dollar back for 60 cents that you put in there. It was trading at a 6% dividend yield and 4x earnings. So that's why Sean went in, or Ranmore went in April. Then there was a change in government in Korea, and suddenly Korean stocks start getting exciting. This share price goes up 70%, and Sean has sold. So, and that was the best return for the in his fund sheet. He said that was the best return in the past month. Is this something that you look for from asset managers, Magnus, that they actually digging in amongst the weeds as well as seeing the overall picture?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I tend to shy away from these very, very large asset management companies, whether it's overseas or in South Africa. They're simply too big to make these kind of calls, move in, move out in a short space of time. And that's what that merchant risk study has proven. And many others globally have proven that. So big fund management companies, because of their size, they actually revert almost to an index. So we have been for a very long time looking for smaller fund managers, and Sean falls 100% in that category. We came across him by your platform, and we thought, this is interesting. Let's talk to him. We analyzed his fund, his thinking, his style. And we said that is the type of fund that Brentus likes. It's a small fund. We can talk to the fund manager. And we like his style because he can move in and out because of his relative size. And we see it now in this market. You know, and there are other fund managers as well. There's a couple of other of those guys that we follow. And by and large, we've done better doing that. There is a risk that you can get it wrong because, these guys do make a call. But that's the type of fund manager that we put my money in. And to us, it's very important that we're able to pick up the phone and say, hey, Sean, what are you doing? And Sean will take the call and explain it to our clients. Our clients really like knowing what's going on in their fund. So, yeah, Sean has been a fantastic fund manager. But there are – Tony Bell is another example in the South African scene. For 10 years, he's just outperformed everything. And, you know, I can pick up the phone tomorrow to Tony. Whereas with these big, big, big names, I'm not going to mention them, they will – their secretary won't even take your call. So
– your call?
I promise you it's like speaking to the Pope. before you can speak to some fund managers, they live on another planet.
Yeah, I thought that everybody would take Michael Zaystek's score, but as the race is now, Pitt, you like that front runner, and you want the winning post to come. You said, "Oh, it's four." I'm sure Magnus is thinking, "Jeepers, keep that winning post as far away as possible from your side." Relieved. Are you worried about that?
Relieved, yeah, it's 18 months away.
Relieved.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think the Merchant West Value Fund is a fund that is ripe with optionality. And optionality comes in if there's any good news. And the longer time we have to have good news, the better. So, you know, I think it's fantastic.
Okay, Magnus, so it isn't a tiring horse by any chance that you're going to have. But you're going to have to fly up. Mm-hmm. You're going to fly up at the finish. And we both know horse racing well.
I should call my portfolio the Secretariat portfolio. It's only picking up speed now.
Well, both of you are going to be presenting at the Business Investment Conference, which I'll have you know is 7 weeks away and it's fully booked. Please stop bugging me. People are already getting hold of me and saying, I need a ticket. You know, it's almost like you say, we are selling out. Please get your ticket. There is a very hard stop on this and I still get people. Anyway, I'm afraid we cannot, there's not a single ticket to be had. They're gone, they're done. And Pitt and Magnus will be talking there. But what I'm quite excited about here, Pitt, and I'd love to get your insight on this. We've got the three amigos, the three Afrikaner amigos who were in the White House and they are coming through. That's Theo de Jager, Corné Mulder, and Gerard Papenfuss. So they'll be doing the nightcap session. But we also have the three investment amigos together. Well, my three investment amigos, you, Sean and Walter Aylett, especially you and Walter Aylett being such strong supporters of the Warren Buffett South Africa Club, taking people over there for decades now. Walter doesn't go onto the stages very often, so it's really good to have him there. But I presume he's got a similar kind of investment style to you and Sean.
I think so. He's also a value-oriented investor, so very much similar style to myself and Sean. So I look forward to that. I must say, to your credit, like your investment conference, and I've been to everyone. And the reason I go to everyone, because you invite me to speak, but I find it fascinating. The other speakers there really convey some valuable information. So I find the conference tremendously valuable myself, even though I'm a speaker there.
I'm just missing Sai this time around. We'll have to get Sai Jacobs. Sai will be with us definitely in March, as it thing just the way things panned out this time, it wasn't possible to have Sai there as well. But he will be back in March. I'm certain about that. Looking forward to the next. All right, it's not just the next couple of next 4 months. It's now the next 16 months from here onwards. Magnus, what's your strategy going to be? You've now given some funds to 91 to go and invest in Europe. And I suppose on a global perspective, they're also a small fund manager, very big in South Africa, but not that huge globally. But what else are you going to be looking to do or how's your strategy going to be so that you can at least, if not do the Secretariat 25 lengths victory, at least pit at the post come next November?
What I'm going to do as little as possible. I think what I started out doing with this competition, I tried to do too much. I was buying and selling and shorting, and that didn't work. So I'm letting the funds run. I'm letting the fund managers do their job, sticking to the portfolio. I might make very small adjustments depending on what happens with the, you know, the Donald Trump, the dollar story. The dollar story is the big, big, big story in the world right now from my perspective. But I'm going to be letting the fund managers make those calls. But the portfolio has picked up tremendously. I'm just going to ride this out and see if Secretariat can catch up to the Pitts Value Fund at the winning post.
Well, before we ask Pitt his strategy, what do you make of the Rand's relative strength over the past few months, given the chaotic political situation that we are in South Africa?
Is that Tom Hawkins?
Once again, the Rand is determined by global economic forces. You know, the events in South Africa, the political events in South Africa. If you ask the average man 5 years ago, guys, this is what's going to happen. Expropriation without compensation, the Bella Act, we're going to do this. People would have said the Rand will be 20 by 2025. Now, that has not happened, mainly because of the decline in the dollar. The dollar has been declining very aggressively against the euro, pound, euro. In fact, it's one of the sharpest declines over the last 20 years. So the Rand is being helped, and also the country has been helped tremendously by the weaker dollar, the much weaker dollar. And that, I can't predict what's going to happen in the next 18 months. There's all kinds of talk that you need to prepare yourself for that. And that could mean a stronger Rand and weaker oil prices and lower inflation for South Africa, which would be good for South Africa.
Sorry, broke up at the critical moment there. You said there's talk about, and then we lost you. What exactly is there talk about?
Goldman Sachs again this morning, and he's been warning that it could be a pivotal time for the dollar versus other currencies. In other words, the dollar dominance is coming to an end. Now, that's the billion dollar question. Is it the case, or is it part of a cycle? That I don't know, and I don't know anybody knows.
Pitt, the Rand and its relative strength, before you give us your strategy for the next 16 months?
Yeah, so I think what Martin's pointing out is right, is that there is talk now that the dollar dominance is coming to an end, and one can understand why if you look at the finances of the US, which are not in great shape. And in fact, the finances of most developed markets are not in great shape. And I think I've been saying this for a while. I mean, debt ratios are out of control, government spending is out of control. And developed markets are, for me, almost the new emerging markets in terms of how they are managing their finances. So I think there's significant risk along that vector there. And if that happens, developed markets start acting like the emerging markets of old, then you can see significant weakness globally in the US dollar. And that would translate into Rand strength, not because we have such great economy or such a great system, but just because the dollar is weak. And that's actually what's been happening over the past while.
So are you expecting it to continue?
I have no idea, Alec. If I look at the finances of the US, it doesn't bode well for the dollar. But I do think that betting against the US has not been a winning strategy for a very long time. So I'd be loath to put all my eggs in one basket. But I think as one manages your finances, you tilt it away from the dollar and towards other assets.
Now, Donald Trump is maintaining that he's already pulled in $50 billion in extra duties. So that's but Donald Trump maintains what he maintains. And then looking ahead into the rest of the competition.
See, we're using racehorse analogies here. My son and stepson are part of a syndicate that own a racehorse. It's called Rainbow Lorikeet. It's a four-year-old filly that has started winning a lot. It ran in the Durban July this year. It won its last race on Sunday. And they're going to run it for another year. So they're going to run into a five-year-old. And I think that is exactly what the Value Fund is. It's a filly that is coming on strong. And is only coming to his own now. I think the Value Fund, I'm staying with it. I'm not changing anything I'm doing. The Value Fund itself, the Merchant West Investments Value Fund, offers investors optionality, positive optionality, along three vectors. The first is the political situation in the country. As I said at the outset, I think assets in South Africa are priced for the worst possible outcome for this corrupt, inept government to continue doing what it does, which is nothing good. So that's in the price of assets. If anything changes for the better there, you can see a tremendous uplift in the prices of South African assets. So that's the one vector along which the value fund offers you optionality. The second one is in terms of commodities. What we've seen with the gold price and the platinum price and other commodity prices starting to pick up, South Africa remains a commodity-oriented country. If those mines start doing well, it has massive second and third order knock-on effects into the economy. And again, despite our inept government, there will be, the economy will do a lot better, mainly because of the earnings generated by the mines, which then gets filtered through the rest of the economy. So there's another source of upside optionality in the stocks we own, not the mining stocks, but the industrial, retail, and finance stocks that operate in South Africa. And the third source of upside optionality is if these developed market financial situations, the debt to GDP burden that they are carrying at the moment gets out of control, you will see devaluations in developed markets, financial repression in developed markets. Well, that's already started. And you'll see capital flow towards emerging markets, primarily Asia, but South Africa is part of that index, part of that basket, and will benefit from that flow as well. So I think that's a third vector along which there is positive upside optionality in the Merchant West Investments Value Fund. So I'm overjoyed here. It's running for another 16 months. I think, as with all options, the time to expiry, the longer it is, the more valuable that option is. So yeah, I'm sticking with the Merchant West Investments Value Fund for the next 16 months.
Piet Viljoen is the founder of ReCM. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com, and you also heard from Magnus Haystack, who is the founder of Brenthurst.